Hour of this week's edition of Animal World. Helen and Bill are here for the duration. We're going to be talking some camel education and, of course, the rest of their African trek and anything else, any of their other treks we can talk about before we're done. And, of course, we're hoping to hear from Willa and Dee. Hopefully they'll be telling us that they've been able to evacuate and they're doing okay, but you never know. It's been so up and down this week. So hopefully we'll hear, have a quick report from Will and Dee, but we will continue with Helen and Bill Thayer, our adventure travelers. We're in the desert of Africa. Stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW, Seattle, and KLCK, FM 98.9, Digital HD3, Seattle.
Been there, done that? It's time for a change.
Hi, I'm Rob Spears.
And I'm Brenda Michaels, and we're the hosts of Conscious Talk, radio that makes a difference.
If you're ready to engage life, expand consciousness, and ride the wave rather than be bowled over by the incredible changes that are upon us, then join us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. on KKNW 1150 a.m. or 98.9 HD3 or ConsciousTalk.net, where together we'll forge the new human being.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes. Join me on Wednesday afternoons from 2 to 3 p.m. for the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. Listen to discussions on dog-related topics and call in to voice your opinion or ask my opinion about your dog. We will talk about everything from dog behavior to pet food to dog training programs in prisons. The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. Tune in Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
Call into Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis Wednesdays at 12 noon Pacific and 3 p.m. Eastern Time for your free on-air readings. Robin uses her ability as a karma specialist, medical intuitive, and metaphysical healer to assist you in removing blockages so you can experience life more fully. She's a medium who can talk to your spirit guides and angels. And check out Robin's Soul Spa at robinalexis.com.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue, now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk. Welcome you to the third hour of our Father's Day edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now you can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio, which means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. Best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. All right, now, if you have a question for Helen and Bill Thayer, you can give us a call anytime. And if you don't want to go on the air, that's okay. Tell Scotty what you want to know about. He'll pass it on, or we can put you online with us. And local number, 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Toll free is 888-298-5569. Remember the 1-888-298-5569. You can shoot us an email anytime while we're in the studio here to animalworldlive@hotmail.com. animalworldlive@hotmail.com. And you can always be in touch with Animal World by going to the Animal World website, which is www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on Current Events for current events. All of our sponsors' logos come up on the front, on the home page. You need to check on any of those. And, of course, the Willa D. Wildfire Relief Fund information is in the Current Events section. Now, I'm going to have Scotty give a call to Willa and D just to see if we can roust anybody out for a quick update. If not, we'll hope they call us. In the meantime, if you want to be in touch with me, you can always contact me through the website. Hit the Contact Martha link, send me an email, or address your own email program to Martha Light, L-I-G-H-T, at AOL.com. I do not work via email, but I'm happy to hear from you that way. It's always a good idea, if you send me information via email, to follow up by calling me and bug my voicemail. I lost 2.5 weeks with this flu, and I'm way behind. So bug my voicemail, because I'd love to chat with you and help you out with your animal friends. And as an animal behavior therapist and trainer, I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation. So call me if you want to talk about what's going on with your animal friends, and I'll let you know if I can help. And that's Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling. And the phone number is 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. If you're submitting a current events item, please do so via email, because it's easier for me to get to the webmaster that way, which is indigodog.com. She's the best. And let's see. If you want to post something to Animal World, like Ed does, send us great information, or any animals in the news, or whatever you want to send. The Animal World mailing address is 19916 Old Owen Road, 19916 Old Owen Road, number 251, and that's Monroe, Washington, 98272. And of course, you'll find all that contact information on my website, marthanorwalk.com. Now, if you want to be in touch with Helen and Bill Thayer, if you are interested in anything that they do, especially the Adventure Classroom and having them come to your kids' classroom or to your business or to even your living room, if you want Helen to put on a program for you, www.helenthayer.com. And you can give them a call at 425-334-3482. That's 425-334-3482. But don't call them now, because they're here on the radio with me. Or you can leave them a message, I suppose. That would work. All right. I think we have covered the business stuff. So, and until and unless we reach Helen and, or we reach Dee and Willa. Now, I think Scotty may have, I wonder if he's reached some. I can't see his lips moving. Can you see, Gary, can you see through that glass? Are his lips moving? Is he talking to someone? Can you tell? He is talking to someone. Bill says he looks like he's talking to somebody. So maybe we will have a Willa and Dee report here in a moment. If not, and as soon as we've done that, and I've got to tell you, it's really important that if you have a few dollars to spare, that you donate to this Willa Dee Wildfire Relief Fund. Because they are not only taking care of themselves and all of their rescue animals, they are helping all of the other people in the high desert and all of their animals. And these are the people that are forgotten by society, the ones that got pushed out of the city because they couldn't afford it anymore. So those people in the high desert of Arizona really have nothing. Most of them don't even have wells or water on their property. So they live without power, without water. They have lots of rescue animals, and they need help getting out of the smoke and the fire zone. So that we've taken on this project to help all of them get taken care of, get water during the fire, or get out of the area if they need be. So it is the Willa D. Wildfire Relief Fund. Any Chase Bank, you just need the name of the account, Willa D. Wildfire Relief Fund. And if you forget that or can't write it down, go to the Animal World website, marthanorwalk.com, click on Current Events, and the information is there. Well, I don't know who or what Scotty's talking to, but we are going to continue here until he lets us know if we have a report. So my guest today, as you all should be familiar with, our adventure travelers, Helen and Bill Thayer, are here. We left them in the middle of the African desert. Are we still in the Sahara, or have we moved?
Sahara,
we're in
yes.
the Sahara Desert, and we just baked bread in the sand, which was very cool. Mm-hmm. Now, you said, Helen, that you didn't eat with utensils. You eat with your hands?
Yes,
when you
eat with the fingers of your right hand.
Three fingers, and it has to be three fingers of your right hand?
Fingers, not your thumb or your little finger, but the other three fingers of your right hand.
Use those like a scoop?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Ah, okay.
But
okay.
You never, never, never use your left hand for food. Never.
And that's just, why is that?
Well, because that's what they use to clean themselves with.
Oh.
So you eat with your right.
Even if you're left-handed, you eat with your right hand.
Yeah, that would not be considered right.
Oh, okay. Okay, now you said and you drink a lot of tea, apparently.
Yes, tea is very important in the desert culture. It's a sort of a ceremonial thing as well as a necessary thing throughout the day. They do it by three cups, but they're small glasses of tea, and they'll make the tea, and the man making the tea will taste it. And if he doesn't think it's just right, he'll toss it out and start again.
Hmm. And you said it's green tea?
It's green tea. And they have sugar, but they have sugar in big chunks, and they just chop a chunk off and throw it in this little pot.
Hmm.
And then you have three glasses of tea.
And you said they're sounds like little shot glasses,
yes,
maybe,
yeah.
Kind of. Does that,
sort of
Bill?
Like,
yeah, like a shot glass.
Yeah.
And you have three.
It's
now, is that some kind of ritual that you have?
Yes, it is. It's just... One, and each glassful should be stronger than the previous one.
Oh, so you start with a weaker green tea, and each shot is stronger.
Yeah, and then after.
And yeah, just you always have. What if you want four? You only get three.
No, you just really only ever have three, because then if you're to discuss something, then discussion can start. But you have to have small talk over the green tea. That might take a couple of hours, and then you go on from there.
If so it isn't like chug, chug, chug.
No.
You do these three glasses over a period of time.
It could take a couple of hours easily.
Wow.
And then if there's something to be discussed, then the discussion starts after that, and then action can take place. But the tea has to be drunk first, and then in greeting, you meet somebody in the desert and another nomad family moving through perhaps, and the greetings are very long. Are you traveling well? Are you all right? And they repeat it over and over. You'll ask the guy how they are six times before you're done. And this is long, repeated, you know, are you traveling well? Are you, and God willing, and your inshallah is God willing, and are you well today? Yes, I'm well today. Are you well today? And then they'll ask it again. And that's considered normal they say that you can't trust anybody who only asks a question in greeting once.
Oh my, that would drive most Americans nuts, wouldn't
just,
it?
You
can't trust them if they only ask the question once.
You ask over and over, and then finally this long greeting, it can take 10 minutes, 15 minutes just to greet, and then the tea thing takes place. And then sometimes they might just want to drink a tea, and it might be time to perhaps eat, but they don't have time to eat, but they'll just stop, make a pot of tea and drink the tea and then go on.
Now, is this green tea, is this a caffeinated tea, so it like gives you energy?
Yeah, it's straight tea. There's nothing altered in it at all.
So it does give you energy. It's like having coffee?
Yeah, it's very refreshing. And then they put the sugar in it. And then they started on the green tea hundreds and hundreds of years ago, when the ships coming in to the northern ports, green tea was considered just ballast. And so they'd load the ships up as just huge bales of green tea just as ballast. Then they'd come into port and then they'd just sell the stuff, you know, cheap. Well, nomads, this is how it all got started with the green tea.
All right, let me just, I know Scotty hung up the phone. Scotty, do you have something to report to us? Get him on here and see what's going on. Because he's been in the desert.
Yes, I do.
You've been in the desert of Arizona. Yeah, we can hear you. So what'd you find out?
All right, that better?
Yeah, no, we can hear you.
Okay, I couldn't hear myself.
Oh.
No, I just...
That's weird, isn't it? When you're on the radio and you can't hear yourself in your headset, you can't function. So are you can function now. What'd you find out?
I got an update from Dee and Willa, and at this point in time, they have a temporary loan on a motorhome.
Oh, good, because where they were going, they had a place for their animals, but they had nowhere to live themselves.
Exactly. They have a little bit of a problem with the electrical system in it because it was kind of rat-infested, and they're trying to rewire. I know. Maybe the rats were running away from the fire. I don't know. Yeah. And that they did have to evacuate Springerville again.
Well, you remember we reported last week that... we are not being told the truth
exactly.
by the media. Yeah. And what happened, Helen, you'd be appalled like this. We're told that the fire is being contained in that northeast part, and the towns of Springerville and Eager were allowed to come back. Mm-hmm. But what Dee and Willa told us, that they have a friend that's a city worker in Springerville, and what they were told is that the fire was not contained in that area.
No.
It was not safe for the residents' return, and the pollution with the smoke was like a gazillion times higher than what is safe. But the reason they were told to come back is because if the city workers didn't go to work, the towns of Eager and Springerville didn't get their subsidies from the government. So they cared more about the money than the safety of the people and wanted them to come back. Well, the news reports all reported that, Springerville and Eager come back. Well, 2 days ago, guess what? They were told to evacuate again because the fire was only a mile away.
Exactly what you said.
Yep. So they really did have to evacuate again.
Yep,
so
yep.
What they told us was in fact true.
Right, and there's some pretty high winds again. She was saying
us that, what, 50 mile an hour winds,
yeah,
90 degrees.
Yeah.
Now, have they been able to evacuate? Are they still in that process?
In the process, but they have been helping like three other families with animals,
right?
You know, and like she said, it's just not all about them, and. I just, it's like what you said, Martha. I can't believe what these women are doing. I mean, this is just incredible, you know, them helping out these other families and that. But they got to take care of themselves.
Because these are, as they say, they're old ladies. And,
that's what they
and
say.
Willa, you know, has MS and half her lung capacity and has to be on oxygen all the time and carry a tank with her in the smoke. And they've not only are taking care of their own animals and evacuating themselves, they are taking care of all of the other elderly poverty.
Yep.
level people in this high desert that have nothing. And like I said, no water, no power, and all these animals. So they're still working on a plan to evacuate the rest of these people and animals.
Right.
Huh?
And then, she says she's having a problem with the internet because of, you know, the smoke, the winds, and I'm sure some of these cell towers went down. But she's been trying to email you. So you just have to wait for that.
Oh, so email's here. So Gary should keep his eye on our Animal World email account, Gary, because maybe nothing there yet, Okay.
Yeah, she just says she didn't have much more to report right now because, like I said, she's busy trying to get this motorhome going, and I hope they do, you know.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So everybody, if you can't do anything else, please pray for Willa and Dee, all of the animals, and all of the other people that are kind of stuck in this high desert in the extreme heat, the 50-mile-an-hour winds, and all the smoke. And please send your energy and prayers to them to get out. And if you can afford to donate anything, please open your hearts, go to any Chase bank, and donate to the Willa Dee Wildfire Relief Fund. Willa Dee Wildfire Relief Fund. If you want to follow their posts and their stories, because remember I told you, and in the wake of all of this, Dee and Willa had to say goodbye and euthanize two of their beloved dogs because they were too elderly to be able to make it through all of this. That was very difficult for them. And then what happens? Dee's mom has a massive stroke and is now in a coma. And so she really needs to get down to the Phoenix area to be with her family and her mom while she's passing, but she can't even do that. And my goodness, these women, they need our love, they need our prayers, and they need our help. So if there's no Chase Bank in your area, you can go to my website, MarthaNorwalk.com, click on current events, mail your check made out to the Willa D. Wildfire Relief Fund to me. I will take it to the bank. We need to keep them funded so they can get all of these people and all of these animals out of the fire zone and let them know that they are not the forgotten ones. And even though they don't have, like my dad used to say, a pot to pee in up there, we love them, we care about them, and we want them to be safe.
Yeah.
After all, we're all one. They're part of our family. So please help if you can.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Scotty.
All right. Back to you, Martha.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go back to Africa in the desert when the sand and all of that. Let's see. We were drinking tea, 3 glasses only, 2 hours, and you can't be trusted if you don't ask the question at least 3 times. What a ritual.
Oh, it's quite a ritual. It's something that's gone on for centuries.
All right. Well, now let's talk a bit about the camels, because those were the animals that you spent most of the time with. Now, in the last few times you've been over there, we talked a bit about the elephants and some of the big cats, the lions sort of stuff. But it sounds like you didn't encounter anything other than your camels on this trip, huh?
No, this desert, we were actually traveling through part of the desert that is one of the more ancient parts of the Sahara Desert. Because, millions of years ago, the Sahara Desert used to be a giant sea. It was very lush.
Really? Huh?
The dinosaurs were there, and they've discovered the remains of fish-eating animals.
Wow.
Sharks' teeth and all these sorts of things. In fact, we picked up shells. Seashells
in the desert of Africa, mm-hmm. the Sahara Desert. Wow.
And we also picked up rocks with fossilized creatures in the rocks.
Oh.
Lots of pottery where there had been villages and people had to abandon the villages because the water was gone. So they just left and moved somewhere else. So there's evidence of sea life all over the Sahara. But now, of course, over time, it eventually, after the dinosaur age, then it was the age of the elephants, and various animals from Central Africa used to live up in the Sahara area because it was very lush with lots of food. Then it dried out and gradually dried out to what it is today. And some of it is so dry now, nothing lives there, nothing at all.
Wow.
Not even a lizard. Nothing will live there in some parts. Other parts, you might see a lizard or something like that. We did see a fox one day, but wildlife is very rare. And, of course, you depend on your camels. And now when we crossed the desert, walked across the Gobi Desert, we used we had Tom and Jerry with us, our 2 Bactrian camels. They carried all of our gear and water while we walked. And the Bactrian camels are they live in Asian countries, and they have the 2 humps.
Okay, Bactrian
is the 2
are humps. Asian camels, yeah, and have 2 humps. Okay,
we had Tom and Jerry in the Gobi Desert, and now it's believed that the Sahara camel has only got 1 hump, and they believe now that the 1 humped camel evolved from the 2 humped Bactrian camel.
Oh, okay.
And the reason being is that the Sahara is even drier and harsher. So this Bactrian camel, the 2 humps evolved into 1 hump. The animal became taller and more slender with a very relatively thin wool coat, as opposed to the very thick, a 6-inch long coat that the Bactrian camel will grow, because in the Gobi Desert it can get down to -40 degrees.
Ooh.
Because the Sahara never gets that cold. And so this animal.
Now I can't remember the time you were in the Gobi Desert. What did it get that cold when you were there?
No, because that's winter time.
Okay, so you were there in the summertime.
In the heat of the summer.
But in the African Sahara Desert this time, you were there at the winter time.
Yes, the temperature never really got above 90. Because it's winter temperatures. But then the camel is really the lifeline of the Sahara Desert. And said that about 2000 BC was the year that camels became the beasts of burden, where they used to be wild. and then they were domesticated by the Arabs in southern Arabia and that area. And then about 2000 BC, just about the first time that they were used to carry loads.
Mm.
And so that began the era still going on now where camels are used to carry things, loads of salt and in the old days gold.
So camels have been working with humans for thousands of years.
Yes. And sometimes it'd be a camel train would consist of 3,000 or 4,000 camels. But you don't really see that many.
3,000 or 4,000?
Holy moly. It's amazing because now that you don't see that, those huge camel trains, because now the when the French colonized North Africa, they bought the vehicle, the 4x4s and because until that time, the wheel, the Arabs didn't bother with anything with the wheel. While the Egyptians were building these great pyramids, they weren't inventing, they weren't using the wheel because camels carried everything. But when the French came, the French brought the wheel into the and this advantages into the Sahara. But then, of course, vehicles, they have to be kept going. They need gasoline and oil and so forth. So they have some great disadvantages. But at least...
What about, do camels haul carts or anything?
No.
No.
They carry everything on their back.
Just carry everything on their back.
But the big advantage we see for the camel is that now at least, because a camel train, when they're traveling from point A to point B, if a camel slows up or stops, can't go anymore, they're just left to die. Hmm. And the camel train continues on. Hmm. We didn't have anything like that in our camel train because we had our four camels and 12 more, so there were 19 camels altogether in our camel train, but everybody was extremely well taken care of for and well fed. But in days gone by, that hasn't always been true. So we see the wheel and vehicles as at least not, camels are not abused in that way as much now as they were.
And it sounds like probably because of the harsh nature of the 900-mile track, the family that was moving, they did not bring their goats and other animals with them. Mm-hmm. They sold them. Mm-hmm. And so what, when they get to the new place, then they acquire they new other
because
animals.
Because it was a round-trip journey. We had to go southeast. And then turn around, come back along that same ancient trade route, and then cross back into Morocco and go into the mountains to where the water was and where these people's extended family lived. It seems everybody belongs to a huge extended families. And so then when they returned and to their final place where they will continue to live probably indefinitely, then they bought more sheep, more goats, because they need those for... to get meat, milk, and so forth from.
And you were able to start out where you started, go the 900-mile trek to their new home, and then you were able to return home from that place, or did you have to turn around and come back?
We went from Morocco down to northern Mali, then turned around, came back, crossed back into Morocco to where the family are living in the mountains in Morocco.
Mm.
So it was a 900-mile round trip.
Uh-huh.
At first, we were only going to make it 400 miles because of the tragedy of the family that they had to bring back with them.
Right, so that was an unexpected little change in your...
The brother died, and so that meant the husband of the family that we were to travel with, it was his brother who died.
So that's why we went to get the two widows.
Yes, leaving two widows and four children. So they had to go get them, bring them back.
So they obviously take care of family.
They do, extremely so. Everything is all about family. It was his duty to go get the two widows. They didn't have
interesting. Now he gets his brother's two widows. Mm-hmm. Do they become two of his wives,
Legally,
did he not get involved with them, or how does that work?
Legally, he can only have four wives.
Oh, I see. He's reached his max.
Yeah, he's reached his max. But they can come and live as two widow ladies, and for the rest of their lives, they must never have their photos taken, because now they're widows. And
they can't have photos taken because they're widows? What's up with that?
Very strict rules about photo taken of these people. You can't take a widow's photo because her husband's spirit might become displeased. over
Oh,
there.
I see. And don't want to mess with the other side.
No. So they don't want to do that. And so the deceased is very respected. You don't want to mess with them. They might become unhappy. So all these rules have to be obeyed. And for a Westerner, you don't reach out to shake a woman's hand. That's considered a very loose behavior. You would never
with any woman or a widow's? Any woman. You don't?
Especially if she's married, especially.
Oh, especially?
Yeah, you would never do that.
Just so. Hands off my property,
yes,
huh?
Yes, yeah. It's considered very loose behavior.
But do you reach out to shake a hand of a man?
No, as a woman, no.
No.
I would wait for him if he wanted
but
to.
But Bill could reach out?
Oh, Bill, yeah, he's fine because he's a man.
Right.
As a woman, I was restricted in certain things.
Hey, did Bill take advantage of that?
Okay. Watch out when we get home.
Yeah, he has to pay the consequences when he gets back here. Huh?
But they're pretty, they're a lot more, the women are a lot more liberated in those desert tribes than they are, say, in the cities of many Arab countries. The women are a lot more, lot more liberated.
Well, I find it interesting that they restrict themselves to four wives. I wonder how they came up with that number.
Well, I guess Muhammad, when he wrote the Quran, I guess he decided on four wives.
Huh.
If they can support four wives, they can have four wives.
I see. Interesting.
But then we lived in with the Maasai tribe. One man had 12 wives, so they don't have any such restrictions.
Now, so did they think there was something strange that Bill only had one wife with him?
They thought it was really weird. He had one wife and no children. It's like, because manhood is proved by the number of children you have.
Oh, so I guess Bill wasn't much of a man in their eyes,
no,
huh?
Like, oh, well, they felt sorry for him.
Oh, I see.
And he only had this one wife.
They were going to set me up with another wife.
Oh, yes. They were going to set him up with another wife?
Yes, like, hey, just a minute now.
I bet you put the kibosh on that real fast, huh? Oh.
One's enough.
Well, that must have been kind of flattering to Bill, though, you know. Oh, yeah.
It was a wonderful experience, just to experience these people's lifestyle and to go back into the desert, because we really like the deserts. The deserts can kill you in very short order, but for many reasons, water being a big one.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there are scorpions and so forth that can get you, but some of them are deadly, but water, of course, is a big problem. And just the heat and...
When you said in many parts of this desert, though, nothing lived there, so not scorpions or anything.
And nothing. There's nothing. It's too sterile. It's just nothing. It's been so lacking in any rain for so many years that everything is dead. We crossed areas of flat plains where the sand had come in and killed any plants. And then other areas where everything was dead. And it's really, it's amazing to walk across an area, a vast area, walk through it all day long, and everything, every plant around you is dead.
Wow.
Because the water's been lacking water for so long, finally everything died.
Well, you said 7 years since rain.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, well, I don't want to space our advertisers and sponsors and run out of time here. So let's take care of them. Please pay attention and support them. Without them, there's no us. And we continue with Adventure Travelers, Helen and Bill Thayer, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend, and Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. Now pop on to my website, www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Jones & Company logo on the home page. That'll take you to their website, and you see everything that's on sale. You'll realize it's worth a trip to Jones & Company, and you'll find them on State Avenue in Marysville. Be sure and join their preferred customer club when you get there, because you get a card, and they keep track of what you spend. You get discounts along the way, and free food, canned and dried. Oh, boy. So check them out, Jones & Company Pets. You can give them a call at 360-658-7817. 7817. That's 360-658-7817 at Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
Manson Mitchell welcomes back Carol Lieberman to talk about the secrets of bad girls and why so many men fall for them.
Then Don Schmidt uncovers the details of the Roswell incident, from witnesses to this legendary UFO encounter.
Next, relationship expert Catherine Alice shows how love will find you when you magnetize your soulmate.
That's Manson Mitchell in the morning, Saturday at 10, followed by the Gary Mann Show at 11 Pacific.
This new year, give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, a strong immune system, and a healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Go to NuProSupplements.com for more information. That's NuProSupplements.com. The latest must-have for dog owners is a custom-made breeze guard, a powder-coated welded wire mesh screen that quickly and easily fits in your car's windows. Breeze Guard keeps your dog in the car with the windows open. It keeps strangers' hands out of the vehicle and gives you peace of mind that your dog is safe and happy in your car, parked or moving. Go to BreezeGuard.net for complete product details and information on ordering Breeze Guards. Your dog will love you for this. Check out Breeze Guards now at the Redmond Saturday Market.
Massage is good for everyone, including your pets.
Learn animal massage close to home at the Northwest School of Animal Massage. The Northwest School of Animal Massage offers a full schedule of classes, including massage for canines, small and large animal certification, and equine ligament therapy.
For more information, go to NWSAM.com or call 877-836-3703. Locally, call 425-222-3703. That's 425-222-3703.
Join their Facebook page for exciting announcements and the latest class updates.
We all want the best possible health for our animal companions. At Nature's Logic, we believe the highest quality and safest nutrition for your pet comes from Whole Foods, not chemistry labs. So we've created the first and only full line of kibble, canned, and raw pet foods containing no synthetic vitamins or minerals. Nature's Logic uses only whole foods and 100% natural ingredients to provide your dog or cat with complete and balanced nutrition. To learn more about Nature's Logic or to find a retailer, please visit natureslogic.com.
Karma specialist and founder of Metaphysical Mothering, Robin Alexis, is nurturing, powerful, and phenomenally gifted. Her books and personal one-on-one phone sessions can change your life forever. And now she's channeled the Mary Magdalene Reiki Healing Energy Portal. Learn about this membership and how to get exclusive contact with her at her website, robinalexis.com. Robin invites you to register for her weekly newsletter and share your comments and experiences in her blog and forum with her and other community members at robinalexis.com. Robin uses her ability as a medical intuitive and a metaphysical healer to assist you in removing blockages so you can experience life more fully. She is a medium, and she can talk to your spirit guides and angels, and she's adept at doing all this over the phone and through the website at robinalexis.com. You can call her for a private session at 360-457-2993, and you can email her at robin@robinalexis.com.
The search is over. You found the station that's not afraid to be different. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
I'm Martha Norwalk. Welcome you and say thank you for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And adventure travelers Helen and Bill Thayer are here with us. And Helen, of course, has three of the best books on the planet out. If you haven't read them, oh my. Polar Dream, Three Among the Wolves, and Walking the Gobi. Now, are all those books available through your website, Helen?
Yes.
Yes, so helenthayer.com.
If they want to purchase them through the website, they're paid by
PayPal.
PayPal, mm-hmm. And then I could send an autograph copy.
Oh, autograph copy, very special. And, I'll tell you, if you can put down Polar Dream before you finish the book, that's an amazing, it'll have you on the edge of your seat. I still remember that first day I met you after reading the book, and we met out outside the studio at Como, and the first thing I had to do was, show me your hands. I couldn't believe she still had hands, because, less than 24 hours out in that trek, you got frostbitten, and the skin all, it's just, ooh. She almost fell in the deep, dark ocean up there, and hanging by a thread, the sled and Charlie dog, oh my. She listened to the dog from that point on because he said not to go that way. She went anyway. Oh,
Charlie
my.
Knew what he was doing.
Yeah, what experiences. So we've been in the desert of Africa because that was your latest trip.
The Sahara,
yes. And, let's see. What we were setting Bill up with a second wife because they were feeling sorry for him when we went to break. But obviously that didn't happen. And what did you say? The sign of your manhood is wives and children.
That's right. Yes. And because Bill only had one wife and no children.
That was in Tanzania.
Tanzania.
They tried to set you up. That's right. They tried to set you up with another wife in Tanzania. In the desert, they sort of accepted you as you were, I guess. This one wife and...
They just felt sorry for him.
Sorry for him.
Of course, you know, Helen is quite a wife to him. You're worth four.
I think so.
Yeah. So, absolutely. So, once you trek with them all the way to their new location?
Yes, we were there with them for the entire 50 days from the first mile to the very last mile, and we finished up with them back in Morocco in the mountains where they traveled to a new water supply, to where there was a series of springs in the mountains. Very often, if the water is gone from the desert, the flat plains and so forth, they'll head to the mountains because as the earth was uplifted in the mountainous areas, sometimes the water tables have been uplifted as well with the mountains. And you might find springs. And so in the mountains, they knew that there was plenty of water there because they had extended family living in the mountains. And that's really where they went back to live close to them and where the water was, that they could depend on the water.
All right. Well, anything else in this fabulous trip that we haven't covered that we need to talk about?
Well, I think we've talked about the camels. The camel names were Fluffy, Blackie, and George and Henry.
So now what happened at the end of the trek? What happened? Did they go back to the people that they belonged to?
That's right. The man who first made all these arrangements for us, they released them from his family.
Oh.
So the arrangements are, as always, when we use camels in the desert, that when we have stopped, they've finished working for us, then they become permanently retired. And with proper veterinary care, proper feed, so they won't work again, but they'll...
So that's part of the deal make,
that's
huh?
The deal. Yeah, that's the deal. We pay for it.
You pay for it?
Oh, yeah, we pay
for it. Well, bless your heart.
But it's worth it to us because we couldn't possibly... It's hard enough to leave them because we get so bonded to them.
I bet you fall in love with these camels,
yes,
don't you?
Totally bonded.
And you'd like to bring them home to Snohomish.
We would love to bring them home to Snohomish. But, of course, you can't, and we know that, and so... We just have to do the next best thing is make sure that they're fine for the rest of their lives. And because camels are very intelligent. In fact, when you hook your camels, you've loaded your camels in the morning, and now it's time to start moving for the day, and you tie the nose ring to one, to the tail harness of the one up front.
So they're tethered together.
Yes, they're walking one behind the other with a tether between, like, the tail of one back to the nose ring of the other, or a rope around the lower jaw, one or the other. And each camel knows where they want to walk. Mm. Some want to be the leader, and some don't want to be the leader.
Uh-huh.
Some want to be in the back. So you have to put them where they're used to being and where
they're comfortable.
Want to be.
Okay.
And then they just walk along at a good pace, and they're very silent. You really don't hear them walking. They're quiet. The feet are flat on the bottom, so their feet act like snowshoes in the sand. Like we would wear snowshoes in the snow.
Yeah.
These are like sand shoes. I mean, they don't sink into the sand like we do.
Okay.
And they have that steady gait, like bit by bit by bit. And, of course, especially the Sahara camels are much taller than we are. Bill and I are short. I'm only 5 foot 3 tall, and my top of my head doesn't even reach the top of a camel's shoulder. Wow. And then the head is way above that.
So they're way above you. Now, what about at night? How did you secure the camels?
Well, the camels.
Because I'm remembering, of course, Ben and Tom and Jerry, yeah. And one
you
taken
off. You hobble them.
You hobble their, yeah. their legs?
It's a soft rope, a soft, mm-hmm. thick rope. And you just tie two loops around so that the front, around the front legs, so they can't take long strides because they stride very long normally. Mm. And that, this way, then they sort of have to do their, like, the. Like a shuffle, and they can travel.
You have one that can go a long distance anyway. You pull the whole leg up.
Bill was saying sometimes they figure out how to go pretty long with the hobble on. So then you actually rope up one whole leg.
Well, the lead camel, Fluffy, he was he's a leader and a smart fellow, and he figured out how to go quite a distance, and you have to go maybe 2 or 3 miles to get your camels in the morning, and now you've got a whole 10-hour day and 20 miles to travel in front of you, so you don't want that. So then we would take, sometimes we would take his front leg and kind of double it at the knee and bend it back at the knee so it's comfortable and just put the rope around that. Now he's three-legged.
And so now he won't go very far.
He won't go very far, no.
Gotcha.
And then overnight they can graze whatever they can find. Maybe it's just a few wisps of grass, and of course we fed them grain. We in the mornings, not every morning, but some mornings we would lay a camel blanket out, and then we'd tell them to our four camels to kneel down, couch down, and kneel around the blanket.
And that's called couching.
Yeah, couching. Hmm. And you go shh, and you just shush them, and they go down, and then their necks are all, and mouths are facing into the blanket, and you put the grain there. And you have them sitting down because they argue among themselves if they're standing. So you have them sitting down to eat.
And did you have any relationship issues with your camels, or did you get along with them just fine?
No, they came from the same camel farm and were used to each other. And they had traveled with each other.
Well, I think it's wonderful that you don't just lease them and then forget about them.
No,
actually make sure that they are cared for the rest of their lives.
That's
you, like,
right.
Pay the people that own them,
yes,
to retire them and just take care of them.
They could live another.
You trust that they'll do that?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. These our camels were about 6 years old, and they'll live to about probably to 30.
Really? 30?
It's important.
So these camels will never work again, and they will be cared for in a manner to which they like to become accustomed, thanks to Helen and Bill, huh?
Because it's the only way that we can have animals. We're so bonded to them, and we fall in love with them, and it's just we couldn't do it any other way. It'd be very hard. It's the only way we can leave them is to know they'll be all right. And then it'd be nice to bring them home, but you can't do that, I'm afraid.
Yeah, well, that would be interesting, to have camels in Snohomish on the mountains.
Well, we'd love to have camels, but the climate's not good.
It's
too wet.
It's not right for them.
No, it's too wet.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I did a report in the news a week or so ago of a family that has a wallaby as a pet. And, you know, they're so adorable, but, you know, wallabies need to hop and need lots of, you know, I can't imagine being a wallaby.
Space.
Living inside only in the house.
Oh no, that's not right.
No, it really isn't.
I've been around wallabies and in their environment, and their environment is semi-desert, dry,
mm-hmm.
lots of sunshine, and lots of space.
Yeah, we just don't have the habitat for them.
And that's not the place for them.
No, and as much as we think they're cute and want to carry them around in pouches,
No.
That is for our entertainment. It isn't serving the higher good of the wallaby.
No, you can't do that to the animals. They're better left in their own environment, and then can do as we do, just provide for them for the rest of their lives if you need to.
Well, so what's on the Thayer agenda to come?
Well, part of the reason that we went back to the Sahara this year to celebrate our 30th anniversary by walking to the magnetic North Pole together, unresupplied and so forth, pulling our seeds. Then we celebrated our 40th anniversary in the middle of the Gobi Desert. Of course, that was the week we were dying of thirst, but that's another story.
Yes.
And now this year is our 50th anniversary, so we went back and we did 900-mile trek in the Sahara Desert to bring back another educational program.
So 50 years together,
guys,
huh? Congratulations.
So we've been married 50 years. And so, but our next
And by the way, Bill stole the farmer's daughter 50 years ago.
Yes, he did.
He came in as a crop duster in the plane and flew off with the farmer daughter's heart. Yeah.
He came in with a helicopter and a
That was in New Zealand?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm. But we're thinking about, because wherever we go, we have to decide, is this going to be a good educational program for Adventure Classroom? And we're looking at Ethiopia because there's such a wealth of history and tradition there, and they're not fighting. So we have a good chance of getting in and out alive.
Important.
I've wanted, ever since I was a teenager, I've wanted to go to the Congo and live with the pygmies, but it's too dangerous. We would never get in, and we certainly would never get out alive. So it's no good. You don't make a good educational program if you don't come home and talk about
this,
it.
This is true. This is
so true. So the Congo is waiting. I don't know if it will ever clear up in our lifetime. It's such a terrible mess. But Ethiopia right now is good.
You were making plans at some point to go into China and do a big trek,
yes.
But that had to be.
We'd love to go into do a trek across Tibet, and we've actually had permission to do it. But then the Olympics came along. The Chinese, of course, got very nervous about anybody going to Tibet. But now I think that we can do that. We just have to now put the plans back in place and see what we can, what will the Chinese allow us to do now.
Mm-hmm.
But we'd also like to go into southern China, into panda bear country, to study the panda bears and their environment and what's happening to them.
Well, like it was kind of like I'm remembering in the Walking the Gobi story, you can't just plan these treks and go off and do them.
No,
you need permission from the government.
Yes.
I remember you really had to work at getting permission, because they're thinking, well, you Americans are nuts out there. You know, I mean, everybody dies in the middle of the Gobi. They didn't want to let you go.
Well, our big problem was nobody had walked the full length of the Gobi Desert before, and they didn't think anybody could. And so
here are these old Americans.
And they're looking at us like saying, well, you are not going to be able to do it here. A woman they didn't think could do it, and two senior people, forget it. So, but anyway, we proved them wrong on that one and got by.
So we're the humans ever walked the full length of the Gobi?
Yeah, nobody has done it since.
Nobody did it before, nobody's done it since.
I can see why.
You guys are amazing.
Those temperatures, who would want to?
Amazing.
There's a lot of projects ahead for us, long distances to walk as we walk everywhere. But there's a lot of projects out there.
So you have no plans to slow down?
Oh, no. No signals to do that yet. No aches and pains and no problems.
And let's remind everybody, you're 74,
mm-hmm.
Bill's 83?
I'm 73,
83.
Bill's 84.
84, that's right, 73, 84.
Mm-hmm.
No plans to slow down.
No, not yet.
Looking for more big treks.
Yes, more educational programs.
Yeah, let's talk about, while we have a few minutes left, let's talk about the Adventure Classroom, and let's share with everybody what it is that you have created and what you do.
Well, what we're trying to do is bring the four corners of the world into the classroom, because American schools are sadly lacking in any geography education. I've done a lot of work with National Geographic, and one of their big problems is getting geography into the schools.
Mm-hmm.
So through our work, we bring not only geography and the history, but also lessons and teaching about the indigenous cultures that we live with and travel with and so forth. And we have a program now called Enduring Cultures, in which we try to instill respect among the various cultures. If you don't have respect for other cultures, you can't have respect for yours. And to teach the kids that kid in the Gobi Desert who will never see a school that you know about, that you think is a school, but their schoolroom is a different place. They learn things you'll never know, so we need to respect that. So there's the cultural part of it, and the history and the geography, and the water issues. We're bringing the water issues to students now, because we see glaciers melting, rivers going down, water tables dropping, people having to move because of no water. We're finding this all over the world now,
mm-hmm.
And it's just getting worse. And so we're bringing that to students' attention so that they can be thinking about it and be aware of it. It's not just something that you read about now and again. It's something that's really happening. This global warming is a real problem. We see terrible lot of melting in the Arctic ice cap, mm-hmm. in Alaska, northern countries. So that's a real problem. We try to bring that in as well. but bringing the cultural information into the classroom is very important because people have to get along.
Mm-hmm. So when you do an adventure classroom program, you, like, for example, any of our listeners that have kids that are in school, they can call you up mm-hmm. and arrange for you to come to the class.
They can go to my website and send me an email, mm-hmm. or they can call or whatever, however they want to communicate. And what we do is we take one of the programs and say, for instance, my walk to the pole. But not only do they hear the story of one of our adventures and everything that surrounds that, the cultures and the history, geography and these sorts of things, but I also very strongly instill the need to set goals, plan for success, be persistent, solve the problems along that rocky road to
success. So it's a life education for these children as well.
It's not just what we see and what we can bring back, but it's what can you do, or challenge those kids to set goals and tell them a goal without a plan is only a dream. You're not going to make it. You've got to learn to plan. Keep at it and be persistent. Don't give up.
And
solve problems.
And it's not just a speaking, because you do slideshows and all of that, because your photographs are incredible.
Yeah, we're both professional photographers, so we have professional photography, and that just tell the story of the journey over the photography, but also bring in that lifestyle motivational message and really challenge the kids to think about where they're going, especially now where there's going to be a shortage of jobs, economies change, things are going to change in the future. Kids need to think even more about what am I doing to make a good future for myself.
So how many different programs do people have to choose from in the Adventure Classroom?
Well, there's my walk to the pole, the Gobi Desert, and Three Among the Wolves, and then I'm going to develop the Amazon program again, and then this Walking Africa. And so it's we're just developing more and more programs all the time.
All right. Well, just absolutely. You guys are just so fascinating. And your stories are incredible. I do encourage all of you to go to Helen's website, www.helenthayer.com. And if you have not read the books, oh, are you in for a thrill? They are incredible. First one, Polar Dream, and that's the story of your trek as a 50-year-old, single, one person, one dog, no resupplies, walks on her own, first woman to ever do that, and probably the only one ever, mm-hmm. I think, to walk to the magnetic North Pole. And then the Three Among the Wolves, and we didn't get a chance to have time to talk about that again. So we're going to have to, we're just going to have to arrange for you to come back sooner.
The other thing I might mention is that all of my, when I speak to adult groups, there are speaking fees mm-hmm. involved, and my speaking fees all support Adventure Classroom. That's how we the main way that we do support Adventure Classroom is through my speaking fees. So
excellent.
I speak to all sorts of all types of adult groups, government groups, and in fact, I'm traveling to Tri-Cities next week for 2 days of speaking to some government groups and nonprofits, clubs, or whoever.
A great motivational corporate speaking, America. Folks, for corporate businesses, mm-hmm. or if you just have a neighborhood group or something and want to have Helen come.
I just recently spoke to Boeing, a large Boeing company, and Microsoft, and so I speak to the entire gamut, but that's how we support Adventure Classroom.
All right. Well, I want to, very soon after the show, let's put our calendars together so we get your next date on the calendar.
Okay.
And, folks, if you want to check it out, www.helenthayer.com. Phone number is 425-334-3482. That's 425-334-3482. Thank you so much for coming in. I mean, you guys blow me away every time you're here, and it's
been
amazing.
Our pleasure. We always enjoy coming in and being on your show.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's see. Next week, it's the last Sunday of the month already. Last Sunday of June, can you believe it? Shelter, Rescue, Sanctuary, and anything that helps our Animal Friends Sunday. Check in with all our regulars. Plus, we'll get another Willa and Deesa report and see if they finally have gotten evacuated, if their property's been spared, if they've gotten the other families and animals out of the desert. And the fire zone. So be sure and check with us there. Gary, thank you, and you have a wonderful vacation. Scotty, thank you. Helen and Bill, can't wait for next time. And as always, let me remind you, animals have feelings too. So treat your animal friends better than family. And please always be kind to open your heart, Share your love with all living things, and we'll talk to you again next week.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.